Matthew chapter 3, he said. How did he prepare the way for Jesus? Matthew 3 verse 2, repent. That was his first word. That's what all the prophets in the Old Testament preached. Every prophet in the Old Testament, his fundamental message was repent. Turn back to God. But John added one more thing, which nobody preached till then. Right from Moses onwards, nobody preached this second part. The kingdom of heaven is near. That nobody said. So when John was saying, turn around, for the kingdom of heaven is now come, what he was saying is, 1,500 years, you Israelites, from the time of Moses till now, you've heard the gospel to Israel, which is Deuteronomy 28. God will make you prosperous. God will defeat your enemies. Enemies meaning not the lusts in our flesh, but the Syrians and the Moabites and Ammonites and Egypt and all that. God will defeat your enemies, and you will be the head of all the nations on the earth, and you won't be the tail. This is all in Deuteronomy 28. And you will be healthy, you won't be sick. It's all earthly blessings. Every blessing was earthly. And if you disobey God, every curse was earthly. No mention of heaven or hell in the promises or the curses in the Old Testament. It was only earthly. God had blessed them with every earthly blessing, with every material blessing in earthly places in Moses. We could say that. In New Testament, Ephesians 1:3, God says he has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. The Old Testament, he blessed them with every material blessing, physical blessing in earthly places in Moses. For 1,500 years they had that, and they really found that if they honored God, they became rich. They were healthy. And whenever they honored God, their enemies were defeated. God himself would send angels to fight their enemies. It was amazing. But not one word about heaven. Not one word about being an inner partaking of divine nature. Nothing. But now John the Baptist said, turn from that preoccupation with earthly things. That is repentance today. And that message is almost not preached in Christendom. Even where people speak about repent, it is repent from your smoking and drinking and gambling and worldly friends and cinemas and pornography, and all that is good. But I want to say there are people here who have given up all those things, but you may be still preoccupied with earthly things. So you may say, if I don't think about earthly things, how will I live? God doesn't say you shouldn't think about it, but let the government of God control you as you do your earthly work. When Jesus was a carpenter, he wasn't reading the Bible or praying all the time on his knees. No. If he had to make stools and benches, he had to concentrate to make sure it's all right. But the principles that governed his carpentry work were the principles of God's kingdom. I will not cheat anybody. My aim is not to become the richest carpenter in Nazareth. No. My aim is to earn my living, to take care of my family. I've got 4 younger brothers, 2 younger sisters, and a widowed mother at home. I have to work hard, concentrate on my work, try and get as many orders as possible. And if I meet some poor, helpless widow, make a chair for her and don't charge her for it. And if some little child comes into my carpentry shop and breaks something, don't get upset with the child. Just pick up the child and say, it's okay, my child, don't worry. I can make that again. I love you. That type of carpenter will never become the richest carpenter in Nazareth. But he'll be the most blessed carpenter. He'll be the greatest blessing to Nazareth than any other human being. And I want to say to you, that is what God has called you to be. Where you live, to your relatives. It's a wonderful thing to have the principles of heaven governing our life. Upright, we will not cheat, we will not be crooked. We've operated like that in this church for 40 years. People take advantage of us and they take their money from us. We can't do anything about it, but we don't cheat anybody. Never. In 40 years, we've never cheated anyone. We've never cheated the government. We've never cheated human beings. If people cheat us, let them do that, but we don't cheat anyone. That's our principle. It's our principle in our personal life. I can say that before God today. I've not cheated anyone in my life. My unconverted days I did, and I restored it all. I gave it all back. But not now. The principles of God's kingdom. Seek the government of God in every area of our life. Turn from this preoccupation with worldly things to become great and big and all. Earn your living. But be a witness for Christ. That's our calling. And that will be the happiest person. That will be the happiest family. That will be a really godly family. And that's what we are trying to raise in CFC. But John the Baptist, you know, the devil hates that type of message. And we read that Herod imprisoned him. Matthew 4, verse 12. Jesus heard that John had been taken into custody. You know, there are many things that God does, which I tell you honestly, I cannot understand. Just like you experience things in your life that you can't understand. As soon as I open the Gospel of Matthew, there are things I can't understand. And then I say, Lord, that's because I'm human. My way of thinking is so human. God, who sees the overall picture, sees the end from the beginning, sees 6,000 years of man's history, sees all the millions of people in the world, he thinks in a different way. Just like my little children, when they're small, 2-3 years old, they don't think like I think. I see a broader picture, they see a small thing. The same way I see with God. I'm like a little baby. God sees the whole picture. I'll give you one example. Why should John be taken into custody? Man who's preaching such a fiery message, can't God kill Herod? And keep John preaching? That's what I do. And God says, no. I'll let Herod live and let Herod kill John. That's crazy to me. Doesn't it sound crazy to you? But it's not crazy. It's because I don't have the wisdom of God. Do you see how there are certain things we cannot explain? I'll give you another example. You know, in Matthew chapter 2, it says the wise men Herod told the wise men, when you go to Bethlehem find Jesus, come and tell me, I also want to worship him. He wanted to kill him. And the wise men were warned by an angel, don't go back to Herod. And they disappeared, and Herod was waiting for nearly a number of months anyway. And when he discovered that they duped him and there's some child born who is going to be a king, is going to replace me as king of the Jews, you know what he did? It says in Matthew chapter 2, that he sent, you know the story, he sent soldiers to kill all the children in Bethlehem that were below 2 years old. Imagine a little town where every child below the age of two was killed. I say, Lord, why? What would I have done if I were there? I would have killed Herod. What would you have done? Tell me. Would you have killed Herod, or would you have allowed all these babies to be killed? I say, Lord, my ways are not your ways. I'm a stupid man. Your ways are far superior to my ways, but I can't understand it. I'll tell you today, even today I can't understand why God did not kill Herod, but had all those little babies to die and all those mothers, I don't know how many hundreds of mothers, crying and weeping. But I say, Lord, your ways are perfect. I just say that this is just the beginning of Matthew. 2,000 years of church history. Why was James the apostle killed when he was 30 years old? Was it because there were hundreds of apostles? No. There were only 11. And one of them is killed. I can't understand. A few days later, the angel comes and releases Peter. Why didn't the angel come 3 days earlier and release James? I would have done it. But God doesn't do it. God says, no, James' time is over. He's got to die. I'm just giving you these examples, my brothers and sisters, because some things can happen in your life like that. And you may say, I wouldn't have done it like that. Agreed. But if you have honestly tried to live in the will of God, trusting Him and honoring Him, there are many things that can happen in your life which you may not be able to understand. Maybe you have a sick child. And you don't know why. Why has God given me? I mean, so many others, even ungodly people, terrorists, have healthy children. Why a true disciple of Jesus should have a sick child? I don't know. But there are a thousand things I don't know. Because my mind is like a little cup, and the ocean of God's wisdom doesn't fit into this cup. You know what I do? I humble myself and say, Lord, I don't know. Teach me your ways. Teach me the principles of your government. I want to learn it. And if you're humble, God will teach you. And I'll tell you, I've learned a lot more in these 55 years than I knew at the beginning. And if I remain humble, I will learn more in the next few years. I've learned a lot about God's ways, but not everything still. I want to encourage you, never grumble or complain. Because you grumble and complain because you think your wisdom is superior to God's. It's not.